time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Friday. We are rolling along on 97.5 and 92.5. Of course, you can stream us on Twitch. You can also hear us on the ESPN app. I'm Vanessa without my Gallant today, but filling in for Paul Gallant is Josh Beard. How you doing?
I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to fill in for some guy named Paul. I don't know. He just randomly hit me up on Twitter and he's like, do you want to do radio? I'm like, okay, I guess so.
Never met before, right?
Yeah.
Paul's enjoying a much, much deserved weekend off, so he'll have a lot of fun in Chicago. Will he meet the girl for the blind date on St. Patrick's Day and have the love story he's always wanted? Only time will tell, and we should find out next week. Meanwhile, we found out last night, Josh, baseball is back.
Yeah, man, I was so surprised whenever I saw, like, first of all, Jeff Passan's Twitter account was just, it was nothing but NFT news.
He got hacked.
Yeah, he got
and
hacked.
And he got hacked badly.
Yeah, and it's just hours of NFT news. And then so all of a sudden, whenever I see a tweet that says baseball's back, I'm like, okay, he got hacked. I don't believe this at all. But whenever I saw it, I was surprised. And then obviously I went to all the other different sources and they're like, yeah, baseball is back. They've come to an agreement. And I think everybody had kind of battened down the hatches, and everybody was ready to for this to be a really, really long process. And then out of nowhere, they're like, okay, we're going to come to an agreement now. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Good news, though. And I was one of those people that was not optimistic past a certain point. And it was hard to get hopeful, Josh, because we kept hearing the optimism, right? It was like last week, oh, we're so close. We're so close. It's not happening. And that happened yeah. over and over again. But yeah, I mean, the long and the short of it, playoffs expanded to 12 teams. That yep. was agreed upon. A slight like change in dollar amounts for the competitive balance tax for minimum salary, etc. But all in all, it seems like the owners got what they wanted, which I think is indicated by the fact that they voted unanimously. And the players, it was 26-4. Actually, the Astros player rep voted against the final deal, but 26-4, more than enough to get the deal done.
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of people on Twitter already. I think it was the Astros, the Yankees, and I can't remember the two other teams that voted against it. I've seen a lot of other people be like, oh, these four teams just wanted to take their ball and go home. And look, the Astros were on board with never being in line with what the league and the owners wanted in the first place. The Astros rep has always been very clear. The Astros players have been very clear. This is what we want. We're not going to move on from this. So I'm not surprised that there were at least four teams that voted against this. But this is kind of like what I do with my kids. My kids always ask me, like, can we go to the movies?
Right.
And I'm like, well, no, not right now. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And then all of a sudden I'll hit them one day with some tickets and be like, by the way, we're going to the movies today. And so the Major League Baseball is just kind of hitting us with one of those, okay, you're going to have baseball now. It's fine. I think the craziest thing with this happening as quickly as it is – now we're going to see a lot of dominoes fall with free agent signings. Now mm-hmm. we're going to see a lot of moves being made. Where is Carlos Correa going to go? We've already heard rumors this morning that he's at the top of the list for the Chicago Cubs. Are the Cubs going to be a team that's going to make a move for Carlos Correa? Yesterday, the Astros saying they might renegotiate and re-engage with him, but nothing's really changing on their end. So how are things going to have changed for Carlos Correa on his end? But watching all these dominoes fall before opening day is going to be, I mean, this might be the most hectic we've ever seen it be over the next few weeks.
Well, you're not only dealing with all things baseball, you're dealing with football, right? So NFL free agency mm-hmm. kicking in, you have the draft that's just around the corner. So yeah, I mean, it was a really, really good day. It was a great surprise. I think of not only the players and the owners, but I think of the fans and I think of the stadium workers and I think of yep. the restaurants around Minute Maid Park, some of which shut down completely for good during COVID. I think of the parking attendants that make money. I mean, this is so much bigger than baseball is back. And I know that's a very broad, like deep thinkers Zen perspective, but it's more than just, okay, this is great. Baseball's back. It's like, this is people's livelihood.
Right.
Were you surprised with the playoff expansion?
No, look, they've been talking about playoff expansion for a few years now, so I'm not surprised by it at all. I think the one change, and we knew this a few weeks ago, we knew this what change was going to happen. I think the one that I'm actually surprised by, and I'm fully on board for it, is universal DH. I think that's the one that I'm really surprised there were enough people that would back that for that to actually happen in the MLB. I think it's the best thing that can happen to baseball. And I know there's a bunch of people clutching their fists right now going, oh, this is not
the traditionalist.
This is not how the game is played. I think universal DH is only going to increase the entertainment value of the sport. Pitchers already don't practice hitting. They don't work on hitting at all. There are some that are better hitters, and then there's Shohei Ohtani. If you want to hit, just be Shohei Ohtani. It's super simple.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Minimum salary rises from $570,500 to $700,000. 22.7% rise. Whatever. A new $50 million bonus pool was set. Like, it's so funny with all of these deals, with all of these tweets, and I do give a huge shout out as a reporter. You know, to Jeff Passan, to Ken Rosenthal, to the guys and gals like Marley Rivera that had boots on the ground that were watching this closely. But at some point, there was just this, like, overwhelming lethargy, Josh, that was like, just get it done.
Yep. Yeah. I think the players started to feel that too, right? Like, there's some diminishing returns from these negotiations where both sides start to wear down a little bit. And I was surprised. What was it? A week ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever they had these negotiations until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And they were really close to making a deal. And they're like, you know what? Let's reengage in the morning. And then they reengage in the morning and all that. It seemed like all that negotiation was gone. And there was no goodwill. There was no good faith negotiation between the MLB and the MLBPA. So it felt like at that point that both sides were digging their heels in, and there was going to be nothing that would happen. But I will say this. The increase in pay, the increase in the salary floor, I think is one of the bigger issues that the owners had, and I'm a little surprised that they let it go up by 22%. I know they voted unanimously, but that seemed like was one of the biggest sticking points for the owners themselves, so I'm surprised that they okayed that deal. And I think a lot of people, whenever you're talking about the fans and the fan bases, they were looking at that. It's hard for them to look at these players. And like you go work 8-9 hours a day building houses, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not really gonna.
The empathy is not there.
It's not there. Yeah. Well, yeah. And you brought up the stadium workers too.
Totally.
Like the stadium workers out. I'm out of work because you want an extra $200,000 to throw
a
ball.
Great point.
So it's kind of tough for us to feel bad for them. But I think this is actually a coup for the players. I think this is both good for the players and future players and the future of the league, because I'll never be on the side of the big billionaire companies. I'm always going to be on the side of the working class. And when you put it in the perspective of Major League Baseball, the players are the working class, and the owners and the teams, the league itself, that's the big billion-dollar company. So these players that are coming up and they make this their career, they're going to get a larger share of the pool when TV deals start rolling. More money is going to come in from sponsorships and things
Apple
like that.
I mean, the Apple deal,
exactly.
TV deal. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a very nuanced conversation, Josh. There's a lot of gray areas. As you take inventory from this entire situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the empathy was certainly not there for the most of the players and a lot of owners. I will say this. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. Josh is in. Josh Beard is in. And he is at what?
At Josh Beard Radio.
At Josh Beard Radio on Twitter. So give him a follow. I am, of course, at Sports Vanessa. And we are rolling along on a Friday. Opening day set for April 7th. The week of April 7th, there's going to be a shortened spring training, about 3 weeks. And I think people are just excited for guys to get to it.
Yeah, I think so too. Opening day, I mean, it's when we talk about big sports events of the year, I think opening day might be even bigger than the first game of the World Series. I've argued that for a really long time.
You're not wrong, and especially in certain cities.
Yeah.
I worked in Cincinnati, Ohio for 2 years. Mm-hmm. It does not matter how bad the Reds are. Cincinnati does opening day right.
Right.
It is a holiday. Like, I literally think kids get off school.
Oh,
if I remember
really?
Correctly. There were some schools.
That's incredible.
There's a lot of private schools in Cincinnati, and I know some of them. So, to your point, like, in some cities, that is such a big day.
Yeah, well, it should be. It should be a big day. I think everybody should get the day off of work. Every kid should be out of school for opening day. I think when you talk about the, like, sports holidays, it's the Super Bowl. It's March Madness. And opening day is one of the biggest sports events of the year. So just to hear that we're going to get that, everybody's planning around April 7th. I'm probably just going to spend all day, literally all day, doing nothing but watching baseball. So,
and I don't think anybody's going to be mad at you for that.
Everybody can watch with me. It'll all be a group. We'll create a text chain. We'll go into a Discord together. We'll just all just hang out and talk about baseball.
We're going to go down the rabbit hole. But yeah, baseball is back. It is official opening day set for the week of April 7th. So now our sights really turn to Carlos Correa. That's, you know, and even if you're not in Houston, if you follow baseball at all, that is one of the biggest conversations is where will Correa end up? I tweeted out a picture of me in a media scrum and said something like, it's on you, Carlos Correa, or your move, Correa, hashtag MLB free agency. And somebody tweeted back and said, well, it's more on the Astros to pay the man so he can make his move.
Yeah.
Even if they pay the man, I would love to see Carlos stay. I don't see him staying.
I don't either. I think it's one of the things just with the nature of where I put baseball in my mind, because I was so I thought the league wasn't going to start until June. Like, I was ready for the season to be delayed until June, late May at the earliest. And so because of where I put baseball in my mind, I hadn't really thought about the fact that, oh yeah, Carlos Correa is not under contract anymore. They didn't re-sign him. He hasn't signed. I totally forgot about that being a complete factor for the Astros. So when they put out that hype video yesterday,
and he wasn't in it.
And he wasn't. He wasn't in it. I'm like, oh no.
He is a free agent.
Yeah.
It's hard to stomach. I remember talking to him after the World Series, after they lost to the Braves. He met with a small group of reporters, and I asked him what he wanted, and he said, "I just want to go somewhere where Danielle and I can be happy." And I believe him. Now, does he want the bag? Absolutely, he wants the bag. He wants the money. But I actually do believe what he says when he says he wants to go. Everybody's priorities are different when you're a free agent. Do you want to win a championship? Do you want to go to a really flashy city like New York or L.A.? Do you want to be close to your family? Like, or J.J. Watt, who would have thought he would have gone to the Cardinals?
Oh,
you just really never know. So it'll be interesting to see where Carlos Correa ends up. Certainly going to be a conversation we'll have a lot in the upcoming weeks. All right. Coming up, a conversation for today. Deshaun Watson will be deposed, and there is a meeting of a grand jury. What that all could mean, coming up next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Ah, yes, it's that time again. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's fourth annual Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light, supported by Rambler Sparkling Water. We're going to be giving you guys prizes. Yep, the 0.5 winner is the penultimate winner, second to last in the whole bracket. And did we mention, Josh, this all is free. What?
What?
Prizes include a 65-inch 4K LG LED TV from Audio Visual Consultations, $50 gift cards to the Burger Joint, Chewy's Fine Tex-Mex, yum, Smash Burger, and much more.
Oh.
Head to ESPN975.com to register now. It's Bracket Madness, and it is presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. I cannot wait for this.
If I make a fake name and a fake account, can I sign up for this? Is that something I can do? No, don't do that. Don't find me.
Vanessa and Gallant. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. Paul Gallant is out today. He's enjoying a nice weekend in Chicago. Josh Beard joins me now.
Yeah, do you think it's is there any correlation? I'm just saying, all of a sudden Paul goes to Chicago, and now we're hearing rumors about Carlos Correa to the Cubs. I'm just saying.
We had this conversation yesterday about he and I are both unlucky for the cities of which we work. All right, Deshaun Watson. So we've spent the better part of the last almost year, actually over a year, talking about Deshaun Watson because I'm sure you remember he wanted out, and then a couple of months later, these accusations against him come to be. So today is a really, really important day. There are two separate things happening. First of all, Deshaun gets deposed on 9 of the civil cases, and he's getting deposed in regards to the women who have been deposed but are not filing criminal.
Right.
So 22 civil, there are 10 criminal, and 8 of the women that filed criminal also were civil. Mm-hmm. A lot of hashtag math. So today he's going to get deposed on 9 of the civil cases of the women who have already been deposed. So they've already gotten to say their piece. But these are not women who are also filing criminal.
Right.
Also, a grand jury meeting with Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg. So she's going to hear from some of the accusers. The grand jury can recommend indictment for the felony charges, which the felony charges would be like probably the forced oral sex and some of the more serious accusations. And then, of course, there are a slew of misdemeanors, Texas law, harassment, etc.
Right.
So this is a big day. Will we have answers today? I don't necessarily know, but this is something to watch. from a football perspective, and I always want to make sure that I say, I know there are much more important things than football, and either way, justice needs to be served. But from a football perspective, the timing here is key, Josh, because we are now to the point to where the quarterback carousel keeps on moving, and we're at the point now to where we're approaching the draft. Now, this is not like a quote-unquote sexy draft. Unless somebody sees something in, like, Malik Willis, this is not known to be, like, a great quarterback class. Regardless, it's a big day.
Yeah. So I really think the biggest thing to watch is definitely the grand jury. Is this going to go to criminal charges? I don't know how long it's going to take. A lot of people have warned us that don't expect a decision on Friday, which would be today. Don't expect a decision today. Could take a few days. But I really feel like if no criminal charges are found, then it's not going to be that long before we see a Deshaun Watson trade. We already know the suitors are out there, right? We've heard all the teams. The Panthers are apparently preparing a package or have prepared a package. I think the Steelers could be a team that's going to look for him. The Seahawks, with all of their brand new assets in the Russell Wilson trade, are going to be looking to make a play for somebody. Could it be Deshaun Watson? If he doesn't have any criminal charges against him, I think by the end of next week, Deshaun Watson's no longer with the Houston Texans and he's with another team.
There are a lot of things that have to happen.
Yep.
Not only does the team have to be comfortable with the civil cases, but the team has to be comfortable with all things criminal. And the team also has to be comfortable with the fact that the NFL is conducting an investigation led by former Chief Sex Crimes of Manhattan prosecutor Lisa Friel. Like, she is the real deal. And so, that being said, it's like it only takes one.
Yeah.
It only takes, and there will be a team that offers a haul for a quarterback who is still thought to be in his prime. There will be a team, I think, that offers Nick Caserio what he wants. Mm-hmm. I do believe in Nick Caserio's toughness on this. I don't think he's going to fold. I think he's going to wait for a good deal.
Yep.
And then the last piece of that, of course, is Deshaun Watson deciding to waive his no-trade clause, which I think he'll do. And I think Deshaun and the people that surround Deshaun hopefully know that, not that his options are limited, but look, obviously Green Bay's out now. Denver is probably out.
Right.
I think we can assume that a lot, you know, the writing is on the wall for a lot of these teams. But you mentioned the Panthers. I think about the Dolphins. They said they're out on Deshaun Watson.
I don't believe that.
But are they really out on Deshaun Watson?
You can have Tua Tagovailoa, or you can have Deshaun Watson. Easy choice.
And they have you think about the Dolphins. They have a very, now everything they're dealing with Brian Flores from a PR perspective makes me believe that they're not super keen on it. But they have a brand new hungry head coach in Mike McDaniel.
Yep.
They have an offensive coordinator, Frank Smith, who's just been named. You think that Mike and Frank don't want to work with Deshaun Watson over Tua?
Well, especially if there's no criminal charges and they're only looking at the precedent's been set for civil cases like this with like about a 6-game suspension. So if you're looking at a 17-game season and you say, okay, at some point Deshaun's going to get suspended for 6 games. If you make a play for Deshaun Watson and you think you can ride out those 6 games without him and have another 11 games with him, you absolutely make that move because he's 26, 27. You still have maybe a whole other decade of him as your franchise quarterback. I don't believe for a second that the Dolphins are out on this. I think Deshaun's, at this point, I have to imagine Deshaun's no trade clause is a relative non-factor. I don't know that there's any way that he wouldn't waive his no trade clause just to move on and play football again after he missed an entire year. Carolina makes the most sense for me. We've heard before that he wouldn't waive his no trade clause for Carolina. I don't believe that. I think Carolina, look at what they have.
You have a healthy Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he's.
Well, and on top of that, you've got DJ Moore, you've got Terrace Marshall. They've got a good offensive line. The Panthers had, I think it was the first or second hardest strength of schedule last season, and they ended up as the number two, number three defense in the league. How do you have the number two defense with one of the hardest strength of schedules and not make the playoffs? Well, Sam Darnold, that's how.
Yeah.
So if you add Deshaun Watson to the weapons that they have both offensively and defensively, the Carolina Panthers, I think the two teams that made the most sense to make a play for a quarterback in general were the Panthers and the Broncos. You get a Hall of Fame or a Deshaun Watson level quarterback, you're going to go to the playoffs. Not only are you going to go to the playoffs, you're a contender. And so the Panthers make the most sense for me, but I wouldn't count the Steelers out. The Steelers hired Brian Flores amongst all of his stuff. They don't care. They've got Mike Tomlin there. The Steelers are one of the few organizations in the NFL that can kind of do whatever they want and get away with it because of their history, because of who they are.
Great history, yeah. Great leadership. And if you ask any GM owner around the NFL, the Steelers are the mold for what you yeah. want in a franchise. But yeah, certainly. Vanessa Richardson and Josh Beard filling in for Paul Gallant today on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So what could happen today? Well, I am not a lawyer, and I'm not going to pretend to sound like a lawyer, but any legal analyst or lawyer that you talk to will say that indictment can come fairly easily. They will indict, grand juries indict often. Mm. They indict as much as they can for very little. So we'll see Deshaun Watson getting deposed on some of those civil cases by the women who have already been deposed, but the women who are specifically not filing criminal complaints. Mm-hmm. Also happening today, a grand jury meeting with Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg. We'll hear from some of the accusers. Grand jury can recommend indictment for some of those felony charges and accusations. Now, Rusty Hardin, of course, Deshaun Watson's lawyer, has said that his client will be pleading the fifth. I don't think this is a bad move. And the thing that Rusty Hardin is really good about is putting things in perspective, yep. right? So he says to ESPN or the New York Times or whoever, forgive me, I don't remember, but he said, yeah, I'm going to have him plead the fifth, but any lawyer would do the same. And he's probably right about that
yep.
because there are so many ongoing moving pieces. But how's Tony Busby going to frame that? We will see. This has been a spectacle, to say the least. And look, I hope justice is served either way. I hope that we can get to the bottom of the truth, no matter what the truth is, even if it's uncomfortable and messy. And mm-hmm. my opinion from the get-go has been that there are a lot of gray areas here. Like, I have people ask me in different NFL markets, well, do you think he's guilty or innocent? Like, that's just not
that's
the way.
That's such a loaded question.
Right. A lot yeah. of these things work. And you're dealing with a lot of different women, and you're dealing with a lot of gray areas. So whatever the truth is important, and I hope the truth comes out.
Yeah, it's like whenever my wife and my mom used to get into arguments and they would make me choose a side, I'd just kind of be like, I don't know which one of those. And then I'd just walk away. There's so much gray area. That's such a loaded question to answer. And everybody's stance from the very beginning should be let the legal process play out, and whatever totally. is decided. And then from that point, then we get to figure out what's happening with Deshaun from a football perspective.
And I think it's going to be a big week. I think it's yep. going to be a big couple of weeks. All right. That was a very shortened edition of Vanessa and Gallant with my co-host Josh Beard. Coming up next, Texas A&M basketball taking on Auburn in that SEC tournament. Have a great day, guys.